let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
God wants us to get back to the basics. Before we get out in left field trying to get this new greatest revelation or that prophecy or this person pray for us or I gotta have hands laid on by this person, we need to forget all that and do first things first. It's good to pray. Prophecy is ordained by God. Words of knowledge are ordained by God. And it's good to seek new revelation from God. But we've got to do the first things before we do the next thing. Anytime you're baking a cake, you can't just add in the flour and the sugar and then throw it in the oven and expect it to come out an Italian cream cake. You can't just throw flour and sugar in a pan and expect it to spit out Italian cream cake. To get an Italian cream cake, you've got to make an effort. Because Italian cream cakes are one of the hardest cakes to mix up. First, you have to separate 5 eggs, egg whites, egg yolks. You have to whip the egg whites until they are a hardened fluff that's called stiff peaks. And if you whip them too long, then you get, it separates and you get nasty stuff that can't do anything. Then once you do that, you have to mix your cream, your butter, and your shortening together. And your sugar. And then you add the egg yolks one at a time. Don't add them in all at once because it'll separate your cake batter. There's a process and a method. Then after you do that, you add your wet ingredients and your dry ingredients alternating each single time. If you don't do that, then your cake consistency won't be right.
Right.
Once you do all that, then you take coconut and pecans and the egg whites and you fold those into the cake. If you stir them in, your egg whites break down and your cake is flat. You've got to fold them in gently, take your time, and do it right. And then you put it in the oven for 30 minutes and you pray that it fluffs up and you did all the steps right and that you end up with a good product at the end. Now, you didn't know we were coming to talk about Italian cream cake this morning. But it's the same with the fundamentals. We have to get first things first. We have to start at the foundation. And if we don't have a firm foundation, what's the parable that Jesus told about the guy who built his house on the sand? The wave and the winds came, and the storm came, and his house fell. Why? Because his foundation wasn't firm. And these fundamentals in our life, they build a firm foundation. They put our roots deep in Christ. They get us our house, our temple built on that solid rock. So that when the waves come and the storm comes and the wind comes and trouble comes, because it will, our foundation is firm. Our house stands strong. There aren't too many places in the United States where you would go and ask a construction company to build you a house, and they would walk out there with some tin and some dowel rods and start beating the dowel rods down into the ground and throwing some tin around it. You would not be happy.
No.
You would be throwing down. You would be like, I hired you to build a house. How dare you just start coming up here? You didn't even pour a foundation. You haven't even run plumbing. You haven't done all, you're just trying to put up the walls first. And many times in our lives, we try to put up the walls first. We try to put the roof on the thing. We try to decorate. And we don't even have a firm foundation in Christ. We don't need to decorate until we first planted our foundation and our roots in Christ. So these fundamentals, the reason that we're spending so many weeks on these, y'all are going to be getting tired of this F word by the end of the series. We're going to talk about fundamentals so much, it's going to be in your head. Why? Because it's important that we build our foundation so that we can grow and build. And when the waves come, and when the tests come, and when the trials come in life, we are on that firm, solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our roots are deep. And we will stand strong in the face of adversity. Because we're in a day and a time where adversity will come. This is the most wicked generation that's ever lived. And things are going crazy in our world today. That's why we need our roots in Christ. So that when chaos is going on, we don't have to care. We don't have to be crazed. We don't have to go insane by the things that are going on in the world. We know that God is for us. We know that our foundation is in Him. We know that with Him and through Him, we can withstand any test, any trial, and that He will take care of us. And so we press into Him, and we lean into Him, and we build on Him. So we've talked about our praise and worship. And how God expects us to come to Him with a heart of worship and praise. It's true, sincere worship. We talked a lot about prayer. A whole lot. 3 or 4 weeks on prayer and fasting. And how it's so important that we communicate with God. Last week we talked about holiness. About getting ourselves cleaned up. About getting ourselves scrubbed with the Word of God, getting out the impurities, digging in, and wanting to be clean, and wanting to live a pure life, and wanting to get rid of all the junk and the weights that get us off track, and run that race with patience that God has set before us. And today, we're going to talk about something that's really basic. And you probably may be sitting here and you're thinking, man, I could have stayed home. All you're going to talk about is reading the Bible. You're going to spend all morning talking about reading the Bible. But studying the Word of God is so important to our walk with Christ. It's so important to digging in and learning more about Him. For those of you who are in a position where you have to hire people into your business, or if you're not in that position in your business, just think about it for a minute. If you were getting ready to hire someone and you had their application turned in, you would want to see a resume. You would want to dig into that person. You would want to know everything you could about them. I bet you would Google them. I would Google them. I did Google them. I bet you would check out their Facebook page. I bet you would check out their Twitter account. Some of us are going, what's a Twitter? I don't know. I bet you would dig in and find every single thing you could out about that person. Why? Because you want to make sure that you know everything about them so you know what you're getting into when you hire. Because some people, if we don't do our research, we don't really know what we're getting into when we hire them. And those of you who are business owners, you can relate. You thought you did all the research, but then once you got them, whoop! Help us. If we would do diligence to dig in and find out everything we could about somebody that we would hire for our business, how much more should we do diligence and dig in and figure out everything that we can about our Creator? Everything that we can about God. Everything we can about the One who created the entire universe. We do half as much when we go to hire somebody. We do half as much with our friends. Digging in, finding out everything. Well, what happened with you this weekend? Well, how'd it go? Well, tell me all about it. How much more should we sit down in God's Word and say, what can I learn about Him? What can I find out about Him? How can I dig in deeper to know more about the Creator, to know more about God? He wants a relationship with me. What can I do to dig in and learn more about Him? The Word of God is a good place to start. It tells you the history of the world. It tells you about how people have messed up in life, but God restored them when they were repentant and redeemed them and brought them back. It shows us that we haven't gone too far to be used by God. If we will repent and turn from our wicked ways, then He will use us. It shows us God's plan for us. It shows us how the world's going to end. It shows us the exact way in which everything is going to happen. It gives us principles for daily life. If you're running around life going, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. Dig into the Word of God, and then you'll know. The Word of God is filled with truth. Studying the Word of God is very important for our life in Christ. It's a fundamental thing. We can't have a relationship with God if we won't read His Word. And I challenge you, myself included, because when we start talking about the fundamentals, no one's immune to getting off course. We all get off track. I could spend more time in the Word of God. I could spend more time praying. I could stand to spend more time fasting. I could stand to spend more time in the presence of God through praise and worship. And if you were honest, you could say the same thing. So when I sit here talking about we need to get back to these fundamentals, I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you guys. Because in our world and the day that we live with the media and all the different things and the distractions that are all around us, it's so easy to get off course of what God has for us. It's so easy to get off track. And it doesn't take much. A little distraction here. A little overcommitment there. A little stepping in when it's really none of our business. And then we get off track and we get off course. And we wonder, how did we get here? And it's because we've moved away from the very foundational things that God has called us to as His children. So, don't just sit there and say, oh, well, she's going to talk about reading the Bible. I might as well check my Facebook. Let's dig in this together. And let's look at this with fresh eyes. And say, God, speak to me. Step on my toes today. Change me. In fact, let's all say that together. God, speak to me.
God, speak to me.
Step on my toes today.
Step on my toes today.
Change me.
Change me.
Because I don't know about you, but I am not content with where I am in Christ. I'm not content. And we shouldn't be content. We should never be content in our life in Christ. We should be content with what we have and the blessings that we've been given and the needs that are being met. But as far as our walk with God is concerned, we should never be satisfied with where we are. So this isn't just about reading the Bible today. This is about studying the living, breathing Word of God.
Amen.
Because it is alive.
It is.
It will speak to you. It will change you. It will mess with you. You get in there and start reading it, and it shows you things that you need to change. It shows me things that I need to change. It shows us places where we can walk in more excellence and come up higher in our thinking. Yes. It shows us places where we can become more holy and remove impurities and scrub ourselves down. Yes. And so today, we get the awesome opportunity to dig into the Word and to talk about some basic study strategies that'll help us when we're digging into the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we learn here, first of all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Moses might have wrote it down, but God told him what to write. Paul might have wrote it down, but God gave him revelation and inspiration on what to write. John might have been on that island going crazy, but God told him what to write when he had all those revelations. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then that Word was made flesh and lived among us to show us and to teach us how to live and how to walk and how to breathe and how to be. And when Jesus was here, the living word, he kept on saying, I don't do anything because I want to do it. I do it because God told me to. The word came to me and I did. We need to get to the point in our life where the word comes to us and we do. So it's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. So it's going to teach us how to think about things. How to think about the things of God. It's going to teach us what to think and how to form what we feel about the word of God. It's good for reproof. It's going to get on to you. It's going to get a switch after you sometimes. I'm not too young to not know what getting a switch after you means. I've had a couple after me in my time. Although I can count on maybe one or two hands the amount of spankings I got when I was a kid. Because of one day when Dad was preaching a revival. Yes. I don't remember it, but I've been told about it. And so have you. You know the story. Dad was preaching a revival. And I was carrying on and disrupting the church service. So Mom took me out back and spanked me and brought me back in. I was on the front row, mind you, causing me, you know. And then, so I started yelling and screaming again. Mom took me out. I was 18 months old. Took me out, woke me, brought me back in. This time she sat in the back, so I'm told. I don't remember. Wasn't there. It made an impression in my soul. I was yelling and screaming again. She took me out. Took my diaper off, y'all. Whooped me, brought me back in, and she said I fell over on the bench and didn't make a noise the rest of the service. And ever since then, you could set me on the front row, and Dad could be up here preaching, and Mom could be over there playing the piano and singing, and I was just like this. That's the best behaved baby I ever did see in the church. And Mom would go, thank you. There was this one day. Well, it's good for reproof. Because there's going to be this one day when you're going to be reading a scripture and you're going to be like, uh-oh, I've been doing that wrong. Uh-oh, I need to change this. And it's going to take you out back, pull your diaper off, and whoop you. The word's going to bring change into our life. And many times, because we're so scared of change and we like things to be comfortable, we avoid reading the word of God because we know that it's going to require something of us if we find out more. I've known people like that on the job. Have you ever worked with somebody like that? They're like, I don't see anything, I don't hear anything, I don't know anything, I don't say anything, I just come here, do my little bit, I don't want to know anymore because then it might require more. The word of God, once we get it down in our heart, once we start reading it and studying it, will require more. Don't be scared. Let God change you. Let him show you where you're wrong. I guarantee you there are some things that I think that I got down that I'm probably wrong on, that as I study the word of God, God will change my mind. We're not perfect yet. But as we dig into the word of God, it moves us to a place of perfection in Christ. Holiness in Christ. It's going to give us correction. It's going to give us instruction in righteousness. Now, the word righteousness means right standing with God. So it's going to give us instruction on how to be in right standing with God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in right standing with God. I want to be in right standing with God. And the word of God is how we're going to learn it. It's how we're going to learn what we're supposed to do. You mean you can get all that from all those thuses and these and thous? Yes. You can. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. The King James Version of this verse says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's a big sign up in our learning center that says, food feeding you is not our job, and then it has this scripture. When we come to church on Sunday, that's like the equivalent of getting spoon-fed. Somebody's telling you what the Bible says. There comes a point in our lives as we grow up that we have to pick up the spoon for ourselves. That somebody constantly feeding us will not work any longer. Imagine you're 40 years old and somebody's walking around with a spoon saying, okay, it's time to eat your peas and carrots. God has not called us to be spoon-fed Christians. Although we hear instruction on the Word of God and we hear people speak on the Word of God, but there comes a point when we must pick up the spoon for ourselves and taste and see that the Lord is good. There comes a point where we got to pick up that spoon for ourselves. David said, I found your words and I ate them. Is looking for us to dig into His Word, to study, to show ourselves approved to the Word of God. Psalm 119:11. Your Word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you have a problem with a specific sin that you just can't seem to get free of, getting the Word of God deep down in your heart is the answer. Find scripture that deals with that particular problem that you're having and memorize it. Get it on the inside of you. And when temptation comes to do that, speak the word. How did Jesus fight the devil when he was being tempted, when he was fasting? He spoke the word. And if you and I are going to not give in to temptation, if we're going to stand firm, if we're going to be everything that God has called us to be, we're going to have to know the word and we're going to have to speak the word. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. So don't forget the law. Don't forget His teaching. Let your heart keep His commandments. And the only way you're going to know what His commandments are, the only way I'm going to know what the law is and what He has for us to say is if we learn the Word. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were better disposed and more noble than those in Thessalonica. For they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning attainment through Christ, the eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, with inclination of mind and eagerness, searching and examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So what did these people do? They would go to church, they would go hear the message, they would go listen, and then throughout the week they were digging in their Bible to see if it was true. To see if those things were so. Digging in deeper, learning more about the things that have been spoken. Don't just take my word for it. Take the handout home and dig in through the week. Look up the scriptures. Read the whole chapter to where you can see it in context. When somebody says, oh, well, in the Bible it says, go home and make sure it says. Because a lot of people say stuff that the Bible didn't say. You know, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. And if you want to be next to God, you better get this mess cleaned up. How many times did Mom or Dad tell us that? Well, it's not in the Bible. There's not a scripture that says cleanliness is next to godliness. Not one at all. But many people think it's in there. And that's a silly example, but we can get all these doctrines and religious tradition and mess built around things that aren't really even in the Word of God. We need to dig in and find out exactly what the Word of God says. Because when we build things on things that we think are in the Word of God, then those traditions and vain philosophies make the Word of God no effect. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. If you're exhausted, break out your Bible. Now, the devil's going to make sure it puts you to sleep, but stand strong. You know, I heard somebody say one time, and it was a great man of God, a preacher. It was either, I think, Lester Sumrall or Smith Wigglesworth. One, maybe I could be getting it. I don't know who it was, but I know this happened. He said, every time I read the Word of God, I fell asleep. Every single time. He said, till one day I got it figured out. I went in my bathroom, and I put one foot on top of my tub and one foot on top of the toilet seat, and I read the Word, and I didn't fall that time. Jerry Savant. I had very many decades off. Yeah, they didn't even have toilets when they were in. Okay, yeah. Jerry Savant. One foot on the bathtub, one foot on the toilet, and I read the Word, and I didn't fall asleep. We got to do what we got to do to get the Word down in us. Why? Because it's energizing. It's effective. It makes us active. We can't read the Word and not want to get up and do something about it. Full of power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Penetrating and dividing the line, the breath of life, the soul, and mortal spirit, and joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of the heart. And that's why many times we don't. I mean, let's just be honest. When we know better, we try to do better. And if we don't know, well, then we don't have to do. But that's not the life that God has called for us. The Word of God is a sword that will divide like a skillful knife of a surgeon and separate and sift. Oh, we don't like to be sifted. Let me tell you something. Don't ever sift brown sugar. Just don't do it. It's hard. It's tough. It gets all those knots in there. You got to work them out. It took me 5 minutes to, no, 15 minutes to sift one cup of brown sugar one day. It's time-consuming. It requires effort and force and pushing, and you get tired of flipping that little sifter over and over again. And things get stuck, and it gets messy. And when we read in the Word of God, and it sifts us, we're going to find knots in our life that we're going to have to break down and get rid of. We're going to find things that we got to do repetitively to where we get God's Word down on the inside of us. We're going to find things that are tough that God's called us to do. It's going to sift us. It's going to expose us. And we don't like to be vulnerable. The Word of God will analyze and judge our thoughts and our purposes of our heart. And remember, the whole theme when we're talking about the fundamentals is, it's a heart attitude. It's not just doing things for the sake of doing them because that's the way they've always been done and that's the way Great Grandma Swinney did it, so that's the way I got to do it. It's about a heart attitude and finding out what God has to say to us and then putting it into practice. It's not about coming to God out of ritual or because we have to. It's about coming to God because we long for that close relationship with Him. James 1:22. But be doers of the Word. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. So not only do we have to hear the word, but James says we have to do the word and obey its message. So when we read the word of God, when we study the word of God, don't just merely read over it. We have kids in the school that you'll tell them to go study for their test, and they'll go sit down, and 3 minutes later, they're like this. You can see them in their office. Okay, I'm ready. Did you read the information? Yeah, I read it. But did you read the information? Because there's a difference in reading and reading. When you read, you're just glancing over it, looking over it real quick. But when you read, and you have to make the big eyes when you do it, not really, but then you're truly, intentionally being present and taking time to fully understand the thoughts and the ideas that are being presented before you. Be doers of the word. Obey the message. Don't just listen to it. Why? Because you betray and deceive yourself. When we hear the word and we don't put it into practice in our life, we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're doing our little Christian duty. But not only do we have to hear it, not only do we have to read it, but then we've got to get up and do something about it. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice that. That's strong words. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not knowing the word of God can bring destruction to your life? Yes. Not knowing what God is saying can destroy your life? Yes. Ignorance is not bliss. Because one day, we will stand before God and we will give an account for what we did while we were on this earth. And it might go something like this: God, well, why didn't you do this when I was leading you? Well, I didn't know. I didn't know that was you. I didn't know. Well, it's in my word. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. God's not going to say, oh, you didn't know? Oh, well, you know, you didn't know. It's okay. Just come on in anyway. We'll stick you in the corner. We are responsible for this whether we know it or not. We are responsible for the Word of God. We are responsible for what's inside of it. And ignorance is not an excuse on the day of judgment. God, help us. God, help me to dig into His word more. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, they never told me that. It's not their responsibility to make sure that we know what we're supposed to do. Everybody at school's got a daily life skill. They got something that they've got to do every single day. And so one of them goes and scrubs the tables and the chairs, and that's their job. And the manager goes back and checks it and says, well, there's a spot there. You got to go back and redo that. Well, I didn't see that. Well, that's great, but now you do. There's a spot there. You got to go back and redo that. Well, that's not my job to redo it. I already did it once. I did it once. That's enough. No, it's your responsibility to make sure that this job gets done. And God says the same thing to us. It's our responsibility to make sure that we read the Word, to make sure that the job gets done. God has called us. He wants to use us. And the only way that we're going to dig in and grow and learn and come to the knowledge of what God wants us to do is by digging into His Word. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you, the priestly nation, have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you've forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Wow. It's important that we study the Word of God. So now for the last little bit that we have this morning, I want to teach us four steps that will help us when we study the Word of God. Four things that we can do when we sit down with our Bible. Because you may be like the kids in the school who, when you studied, and I had this in school and my husband was like this, you could just look over the material real quick, listen to the lecture, and be good. And so we're going to talk about some basic study principles that will help you in every arena of life, but especially when you sit down to study the Word of God. The first step is observation. Observation is the most important step in the process. When you read the Bible, you need to look carefully at what it's saying and how it's saying. So we're going to read carefully. We're not just going to read the Bible, we're going to read the Bible. If we have to, we're going to stand up on the side of the tub. No. We don't need any bathroom accidents. But we're going to read intentionally. We're going to be present. When we sit down with our Bible and our notepad and our concordance and our Greek and Hebrew dictionary or whatever, our Google, whatever we're using, we're going to sit down and be present. And we're going to pay attention to what's being said. And we're going to look carefully and read slowly. Well, I read 10 chapters of the Word of God today. That's great. But what did you get out of those 10 chapters? It's not just about quantity, it's about quality. Right. You could spend a whole hour on one verse and get a whole lot out of it. Yes. So we're not looking for quantity. I read Psalm 119 five times this morning. Woo! We're looking for quality. Are we paying attention? Are we present? Are we having our ears open to hear what the Spirit is saying to us when we read? So we're going to observe. We're going to look at terms and not words. We're going to get out our dictionary or dictionary.com and we're going to look up what these words mean. And then if you want to go even deeper, you get into the Hebrew and the Greek definitions of what the words mean. And if you don't know how to do that, you can Google it, but you can also get a concordance. If you don't know what those look like, there's one in my office I can show you. You can see exactly what Jesus was saying when he said it, because a lot of times things get lost in translation. And so it's good to go back to the original intention of the writer, the original intention of the speaker, and dig in and see what exactly it meant. You remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about praise and worship? In the Arctic, they have, 28 words for snow? We got one. How much more in the Hebrew and the Greek do they have other shades of meanings of words that we just have one for? So we need to dig in and figure out exactly what is being said. And if you only get through one verse in your quiet time that day, hallelujah! You fully understood that verse to the nth degree, to the biggest ability. You know my dad, he could preach for a year on two verses of the Bible. And have 100 verses that go along with it. I mean, we need to take time to break down the Word of God and see what God is really saying. So we need to dig into the words and what they mean. Dig into the structure. Did you know that the Bible was not originally in chapters?
That's right.
It flowed together in scrolls and manuscripts, or different letters. Paul's writings were not chapters. They were letters that he was mailing to churches because he couldn't be everywhere at one time, but he could write. Half the time he was in jail, but he could write. So when we read one chapter of the Bible, the chapter before or the chapter next six chapters after probably go along with it. And so we need to read it in full context. Just because a chapter stops doesn't mean that's the end of the thought. It keeps going many times. But because they wanted a way for us to be able to get through the Bible and find different spots in the Bible quickly, then one day a guy decided, hey, we need to break this thing down into chapters. But chapters were not the original written text of the Word of God. So we need to look at complete thoughts and the complete context, not just one verse. Like we talked about a few weeks ago when we were talking about men, women, and children built by God, how one verse, let the women keep silent in the church, has been taken so out of context and isolated that women now are not empowered to do what God has called them to do in the body of Christ because of that one verse. But when you study out the whole thing and you study the history of the world that goes along with that one verse of Scripture, you see that the women that were, they was talking about, needed to be quiet. The husbands were getting saved and bringing their women, which were prophetesses and priestesses of Diana, and they were coming into the church as priestesses of a false god, and they were stirring up all kinds of mess. And Paul said, if they're going to stir up mess, tell them to keep their mouth shut. That was my interpretation. But yet that one little tiny verse, because it's not written or read in context or along with the historical things that were going on, has been so misused and so misguided, and Satan has used it to keep women from being able to fulfill their purpose in the call and the body of Christ. So if you want to get, let's look at this example. Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth nothing. Well, then I could make a whole religion that I never got to exercise another day in my life. Paul said it, that's good enough for me. We can't build religions off of one scripture. We need to look at the whole thing in context and see what the big picture is. So we're going to look at the structure and see if there's something before or after it that might go with it, so we get a complete thought, not just a little piece that we pull out. We're going to look at emphasis. There are many times, for example, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, emphasis and repetition. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, love is used 9 times in 13 verses. That's a lot about love. A whole lot about love. So we're going to look for reoccurring themes, because if God or the writer says it over and over and over and over and over, it must be important. Emphasis. The amount of number of chapters devoted to a topic. How many chapters does Paul say this? Well, this must be something I really need to pay attention to. Relationships between ideas. Cause and effect, Matthew 25:21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Because you were faithful in the little stuff, then I will use you in the big stuff. Cause and effect. If I'm faithful to God in not blowing up when I'm driving down the road, if I'm faithful to God in giving and being obedient in my giving, if I'm faithful to God in not blowing up at my husband when I just really want to smack him, that doesn't apply to my relationship personally. This is an example. If I am faithful in little things, then God will use me in the big things. But if I don't have my character right, and I'm stealing post-it notes from work, then what's to say if God used me in something bigger, I wouldn't take something bigger there? But they're post-it notes, and I thought, it's not ours. Ifs and thens. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. If I do this, then God will. Questions and answers. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Where it compares and it contrasts. You have heard that it was said one thing, but I say unto you another. So, this is the old way of thinking, but I'm bringing into pass a new way of thinking. The literary form, if it's poetry or prose, or if it's just explanation. The atmosphere. Why is this being written? Why is this being said, like the women keeping silent in the church? What's going on in history that Paul feels like he needs to write this verse at this time? You see how we could easily spend a week on one scripture? Remember, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Who are these people in the passage? Look them up in history. The Bible lines up right along with their history books. Who, what, when, where, why? So once we get the observation, once we look and dig in, the next thing that we need to do is interpretation. So this is, what does this mean? I've read it, but it's not enough to just read the Bible. We've got to read the Bible. What does this mean? So let's look at 5 C's that will help us know what this means. Context. Again, looking around the other scriptures. Scripture interprets scripture. Cross-referencing. Look at for it in other places of the Bible, because if it's something that God wants and feels is important, you will find it again. The Bible repeats itself over and over. You will find it's line upon line. You're going to learn about it over and over. That theme is going to show up somewhere else. And in some Bibles that you get at the end of the scripture, there'll be a little section where there are other scripture references that you can cross-reference and say, okay, this is where it talks about it in the Old Testament, but here it is again in the New Testament. The culture. What was going on in their culture? So when we look at what this means, we have to look at culture. Conclusion. So, and once we look at the context, the cross-references, and the culture, we can have some kind of idea or conclusion as what this could be. And then, I think one of the more important things that we don't do enough is consultation. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with somebody else that's also studying the Word of God. Wouldn't it be good if you and a friend were looking at the same verses throughout the week and then you could just talk about them? How much would that change our life if we just talked about the Word of God with one another and we just didn't listen to it being preached at us or taught to us, but we talked amongst ourselves about the Word of God? Step 4. Meditation. Now, this is not some voodoo, only for the Buddhist, only for the monks practice. Remember, everything that Satan takes and means for evil, God has a good version of. We talked about dancing in the church. Satan takes things that God intends for worship and praise and use for Him and perverts and changes it and messes with it. Meditation is not a bad thing. Meditation is a key part to studying the Word of God. What do you do when you meditate? You think about it. That's what meditation is. You dwell on it. You get it in your mind and you don't let it go. You meditate on the Word of God. We must think about what we're thinking about. Your day will improve tremendously if your thought life is under control. And if your thought life is spent on dwelling on the Word of God, it will be under control. So we pick a scripture in our studies that's speaking to us. The next thing is we commit to memorizing the verse. If you have trouble memorizing, walk around your house 5 or 10 times saying it out loud. And then put the paper down and continue to walk and say it. It'll get on the inside of you. Then think about what God meant when it was written. Think about it all day. Think about how you can apply it in your life. Think about how it will change your life once it's applied. And think about the action steps that we need to make to walk this scripture out into reality. Set goals for ourselves and make it happen. Psalm 1:2. But his delight and desire in the law of the Lord. And on this law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and night. And then look. Oh, well, it doesn't have it up there. But look at your notes. There were cross-references at the end of that scripture that shows you other places in the Bible where it talks about meditating. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe and do to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. So if you want a prosperous way, if you want good success, get the law on the inside of you, get the Word of God on the inside of you, meditate on it day and night, and do what's written. Step 4, and we're done. Application. Why do we study? Why do we read? Why do we pay attention? Why do we memorize and get the Bible on the inside of us? So we can apply it to our life. And this is the change part that we talked about earlier. To where the Bible steps on our toes and then we make a change in our life. We want our lives to change. We want to be obedient to God. We want to grow in God. And after we've observed and interpreted to the best of our ability, then we apply the truth to our life. Ask the following questions when you study. How does this truth revealed in life affect my relationship with God? How does it affect my relationship with others? How does it affect me? How does it affect my response to my enemy and the people around me? We've got to put into practice what God has taught us when we study. You can know everything about a subject. But there's a big difference between knowing and doing. We don't need to be just knowers of the Word. Remember that verse of scripture we read earlier? Don't just be knowers of the Word, be doers of the Word. So we got to know and do. Know and do. Know and do. God wants to speak to us. And he will speak to us through his word. Let's stand. God, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.